Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
The holiday season can be a stressful and even depressing time for many people. However, the Father sent Jesus into this world so that everyone could experience true joy. One can only know true joy and peace by being reconciled unto God through faith in Jesus Christ. Today, Jesus is reaching out to you with his message of good news and peace. Believe in him today. You are only a prayer away from receiving the best Christmas gift ever. Please open your Bible to Zechariah chapter 9 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola concludes his discussion of verses 9 and 10.
There is no peace or people, or there is no people or tribe, pardon me, or tongue or nation that is excluded from his command to make peace with God through Jesus Christ. Many people do not know this, but in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, we are commanded to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not suggested as if there's other options. God commands all men to believe in Jesus Christ. Now, there's two ways that you can respond to a command. You know what they are. Yes or no. It's a command to believe on Christ. And therefore, I can, with great confidence, and even upon the authority of God's word, say to every one of you here this morning that Jesus Christ is reaching out to you with his gospel message of peace, and he would say to you, be reconciled to God. That's why Christ came. He came the first time for our redemption. He's coming the second time to set up his kingdom. He came the first time to suffer and to bring redemption. He's going to come the second time in glory to reign upon the earth. And King Jesus has come with all authority in heaven and earth. And this morning, he commands all men everywhere to repent and believe in him. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 37 and 38, we read of the triumphal entry, these words. And when he was come near, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. What a beautiful, beautiful celebration. Rejoicing, worship, peace. Glory! Yeah. But the tragedy of this triumphal entry of King Jesus in Jerusalem was that this time of rejoicing, worship, peace, and glory was short-lived. And I'll tell you why. The very same people who cried, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, would quickly turn against him and crucify him when he failed to deliver them from political bondage and oppression under Roman rule. How can that be? How could a person go from Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord, to crucify him? I'll tell you how it happens. When people have an unbiblical understanding of why Jesus came. Remember after Jesus performed the miracle of the multiplying of the loaves and fishes, the only miracle outside of his resurrection that was recorded in all four Gospels. You recall what John says in chapter 6, verses 26 and 27? Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed. You know what's going on here. The Bible tells us from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, God knows our hearts. And Jesus here exposes the heart of this vast group of people. With their eyes, they saw the miracle of the loaves and fishes. But they were not interested in a king who would deliver them from their debt and love of their sin. They wanted a king who would feed their belly and let them live their lives independent of him and of his commandments. And the crowds were attracted by Jesus Christ's miracles. But when he drew that line in the sand of commitment to him, they were not in the least bit interested. They didn't want to hear about being delivered from the debt of sin or the love of sin or the bondage of sin. And every single time, whether it was an individual or a crowd, when Jesus challenged the crowd's carnality and fleshly motivation and called them to make a clean break with their past and follow him as Savior and Lord, he lost much of his visible following. John 6, 6, 6. Don't read into that more than what it is, but that does seem kind of interesting. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? Because of an unbiblical understanding of why he came. And what was true then is true today. Some of you are thinking, wait a minute, I thought this was a Christmas series. It is. It's all about why Christ came. And I'm here to declare to you this morning that the gospel of King Jesus is not the crossless, carnally appealing message that promises worldly success or prosperity. It is not a message that promises perfect physical health or a life that is free of sorrow or suffering or pain. The gospel message is a message of repentance and deliverance from the debt of sin, the dominion of sin, the love of sin, with a promise of a home in glory where there will never be a trace or consequence of sin forever. That's the gospel. Biblical Christmas. All of the nonsense out there. Beloved, why was King Jesus born of a virgin? Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their what? What gospel did King Jesus tell the apostles to preach when he appeared to them in the upper room after his resurrection? Luke 24, 46 and 47. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. See a pattern here? What gospel did the risen King Jesus tell the apostle Paul to proclaim? Acts 26:18, open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We receive King Jesus as Christ and Lord because we are sinners who are hopelessly lost and doomed for all eternity in hell unless we repent and believe in him. Well, listen to King Jesus himself preaching. Luke 13, verses 1 through 5. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or those 18... upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Do you think that they were sinners more than all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You see, you cannot disconnect the reality of sin from the message of Christmas. But a lot of people want to do that. And they miss the point. And if you miss the point, there is no point. Do you understand that? If we miss the point of why Christ came, then there is no point to everything or anything that's going out there that's apart from him. King Jesus establishes his throne in the hearts of sinners who bow before him as master and submit to him as Lord. Hallelujah! The gospel message is a message that dethrones the rule of sin and self and enthrones the rule of King Jesus. And though the law of sin remains in our flesh as long as we are on this earth, when King Jesus is enthroned in your heart, the cruel tyrant of your own lust no longer rules you. You are no longer ruled by those selfish ambitions. Thank God for those who are in our midst who have never repented of their sin and turned to King Jesus for forgiveness. A sinful state, my friend, is a state of bondage. It's a pit. It's a dungeon where there is no water, no comfort, and we are all by nature prisoners in this pit. And sin is the greatest deceiver because it promises to satisfy you and it promises to make you happy. But my friend, sin doesn't make you happy. Sin doesn't satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. Sin doesn't solve one problem in your life. Sin steals, sin kills, sin destroys, sin always lies to you, because the consequences of sin will always take you farther away from God than you ever thought you would go and cost you more than you ever imagined. And you go, oh, but I've got great news for you. I've got the greatest news in the universe. And it's this: King Jesus came into the world to save sinners and set them free. I believe that with all my heart. Do you? That's why he came. Sin is dark. Sin is ugly. Sin is painful. But Christ came to set us free. If I were to ask the question, what does Jesus want for Christmas? Well, stay with me. Don't hang me yet. I believe the answer would be found in his prayer in John 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me from before the foundation of the world. That's Christ's prayer for you and for me who are in Christ. Did you hear it? Take the fingers out. I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Should we try it again? You believe that? Through faith and the precious blood of Jesus Christ, prisoners of Satan are set at liberty and delivered from the horrible pit of bondage to sin and are assured of being with Christ forever, and we will behold his glory forever and ever and ever and ever, and we will be praising him throughout all eternity. Zechariah 9:9. The verse begins with a command to rejoice. And that word jumped out to me all week. You can learn a lot from just observing people's countenances and their actions. And going to stores and going to malls and going to gas stations, I'm preparing this study of joy and celebration. I'm looking at people. And they're talking about all kinds of things, and there's not much joy. And the thought that I want us to hold on to this morning with all of our hearts and souls is that the goal of the Father in sending his Son into this world to die for sinners is that his people would be filled with joy. Not only joy, but great joy. Rejoice greatly or exceedingly, O daughter of Zion. And then he heightens it again by saying that the kind of joy that he has in mind is a shouting joy. We got a couple of designated shouters here. Praise God. Shout triumphantly. It's a word that is used to describe when a victorious king blasts the trumpet sound and the army says, yes, rejoice. When King Jesus rules in your life, every day is Christmas. Rejoice in the Lord always. Okay, I don't have to say anything here. The only people in the universe that can rejoice in spite of what is going on in the world or in our personal lives are those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can rejoice this morning because through the gospel, Christ has purchased for us salvation, deliverance, victory, and he's gone to prepare a place for us in glory. Rejoice! A time of rejoicing. A time of rejoicing. And you know what's interesting to me is as I look at the scriptures, rejoicing is always spoken of as a command. How can you command people to rejoice? Because it has nothing to do with what is going on around you. It has everything to do with who is your Lord. You see, everything that is going on right here and now, this is all going to pass. Right? Everything. And for those who are in Christ Jesus, sorrow and suffering does not have the last word. Sickness and disease does not have the last word. Politics and politicians do not have the last word. Satan and all the devils in hell do not have the last word. Death doesn't have the last word. The risen King of Kings and Lord of Lords has the final say, and he says, it is finished. Rejoice. That is what Christmas is all about. Amen. Now, can you see why I have a hard time getting excited about Santa and Frosty and Rudolph? Is he your king? Doesn't do you a bit of good that he's my king. Is he your king? In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, read in verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne says, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I love those verses. I love the truth of Scripture. Joy unspeakable and full of glory with our King forever. That's the promise. That's what Christmas is all about. The king says everything's going to be new. Sounds good to me. And all sin, and all pain, and all sorrow, and all crying, and all death, it's going to be gone. Forever. And God is going to personally wipe away all of your tears. Just think of standing before the king on that day. Tears flowing down your... It's okay, Raymond. You're home. This isn't just a bedtime story. This is reality. This is Christmas. And those tears that you and I cry for all of the reasons mentioned here, for all of the pain and all of the sorrow, they will be replaced by tears of unexplainable joy when we step into that kingdom where Christ and the Father will be the center of all attention. This is what Christmas is all about. Amen? Amen. It's not about what I get, but about what God gave. If you want what you deserve, the wages of sin, death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I wonder how many of you today, that today would be the day where God's opened your heart. See, God awakens our dead souls by his grace. You know that, don't you? He does a and all of a sudden, there's something going on inside that never was going on. And maybe that's you today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And I would encourage you to do what Jesus says. Repent of your sin. Receive him as King and Lord and follow him. Amen. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Why is it free? Because he did it all. He did it all. He took all of the pain and all of the suffering and all of the sorrow and all of the wrath on that cross for your sin, for my sin. And then he rose again the third day. Six of my favorite words in the Bible: it is finished and he is risen. Today is the day of salvation. Today, receive King Jesus. Open your heart and welcome the King of Glory. And just come just as you are. God doesn't tell you to clean up your act. You come to him and then he starts doing the cleaning. Amen. Lord, we thank you this morning for the message of the incarnation, the message of Christmas, the message of Advent. And I pray that we would be stirred at this time of year, stirred in our hearts to proclaim this message, the highways and the byways, and to whoever and wherever you may send us or lead us. Father, so many things of this world seek to eclipse the message of the gospel. And there's nothing wrong with good family tradition and celebration. Lord, I believe that you would want us to celebrate what you've done. But let us never forget that the gospel is the message of Christmas. It's the message of eternity. And who is he that overcomes but he that believes that Jesus is the Christ? And I would pray, Father, that you would give to your son this morning from the people in this service repentant souls who would come into the kingdom by your grace through faith in Christ. We stand in awe of our King, his majesty, his beauty, his presence, his nearness, his love that is unspeakable, his kindness, and your grace. And again, Father, we just thank you for saving us, for delivering us, for redeeming us from the debt of sin, from the dominion of sin, and from the wrath to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his
holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
God is at work in India today. Your prayers and support this year have enabled the India Connection Ministry to reach many for the sake of the gospel. Please continue to pray for our pastors in the field, for Koinonia College of Theology graduates who are pastoring churches, the girls at the girls' home, and the doctors at the Free Medical Clinic. As you consider your end of the year giving, pray about how your contribution can make an eternal difference in India. Visit indiaconnection.org.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.